Welcome back to the table. And in our Bible study segment today, we are back in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. And we're actually talking about one of my favorite topics when I think about, you know, stress and anxiety and the things of this world crashing in. It's really focusing on Jesus calming the storm. It's day 16. And Connie Stample is here to unwrap this one for us. Connie, thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about this storm and what Jesus does.
Oh, thank you so much. This is a great piece of scripture, and it's one to hold on to, I think, because it just puts in a historical account of Jesus and how he interacted with his followers and with nature, and it's something to hold on to when we ourselves encounter storms. So I'm going to read our passage, which is Mark 4, 35 to the end of the chapter, and that's verse 41, and then we're going to talk through some of this. It says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And into the boat, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling." Literally, it was swamping. "But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" And literally it's "be muzzled." "And the wind ceased and there was great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who is then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Point out a couple words here, and then we're going to kind of talk through what Jesus is what this account tells us about Jesus. When Jesus initially says, "Why are you so afraid?" in verse 40, the Greek word there really means a cowardly fear. Why are you, you know, scared of this storm? Have you still no faith? Or in the other accounts in the gospel, it could be, do you still have such insufficient or small faith? And then verse 41 says, "And they were filled with great fear." And this is a different word for fear. It's the one that actually denotes real terror or awe. And as we're going to see as we talk through this scripture, what happened in this account is they came to understand that the man who was in the boat with them was truly God. Because only God could tell the wind and the waves to stop, cease their storm, and it happened immediately. And so they recognized his divine nature right there, and that is what terrified them. And truly, I think that's they were growing in understanding who Jesus was, but this one instance definitely helped them understand who he was, and they had the proper response of a fear, the kind of reverent awe of God right there. As we think through what's going on, we can see Jesus' humanity. He's had a long day of teaching and healing. He's in the boat. He falls asleep on a cushion in the stern. And only Mark tells us he fell asleep on the cushion. And so it really speaks to, perhaps, again, like we know, Peter being the person who is recounting what he knows of Jesus. And Mark includes some of those little details in there. So Jesus is asleep on a storm and asleep on a cushion in the stern, and a great storm has arisen. And he is so exhausted from what he's done. In his human nature, he was tired. He was sleeping through an incredible storm. But I think it also speaks to the fact that Jesus had no fear because he feared his Father. And what happens is, in this great storm where the boat is filling up with water and the disciples are sure they're going to sink, they still call out to Jesus. And so they wake him up and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And it's kind of a rebuke of him. It's like, how can you sleep when things are, you know, falling apart around us? And then Jesus, being God, addresses the storm, calms it, and then he talks to his disciples about their faith. And when we think about this passage of scripture, what we're really learning is the difference between trusting God and not trusting him. And is it faith, or is it something else that's going to help, that we're going to look to for what we need? When we consider what we know, what the disciples should have known about scripture, the Lord had already told them in the Old Testament that they should fear God. And throughout scripture, that's what the Lord said. Proverbs 1:7 talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And throughout Scripture, in the Psalms, it talks about the fear of the Lord. And again, it's that understanding of who God is, of how He is God over everything, completely powerful, completely knowing, how He is steadfast and merciful, like we've been talking already this week. But when you know God and you look to Him, that changes how you view everything else. And so other things happening in the world, what people say to you, circumstances, difficulties, great difficulties, you know, cancer and loss and all things, those don't scare us as much because we know this one true God. And what I'm going to do is read a few of those scriptures to you so we can keep kind of considering, again, the fear of the Lord and how that changes how we look at things. One other thing to point out is in the Old Testament scriptures, we definitely know that God had demonstrated that He alone had complete power over all aspects of the earth, but especially over the sea. In Psalm 33:7, we read, He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. And so the God who created the universe is definitely in control of the sea. Psalm 107 verses 25 and 29 say, For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. And then later on it says, He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And I think the disciples probably were remembering some of those scriptures because they had just witnessed that. And that's why that divine power of Jesus with His authority over nature, they recognized Him as God. Back in the first five books of the Bible, again and again, Israel was told to fear the Lord. And I'm just going to read Deuteronomy 10:12 to us. And it says, And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Deuteronomy 13:4 says, You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, that you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. And so fearing God has to do with knowing God and then holding on to Him in faith. It's that trust of Him. And that gets worked out in our lives by actually obeying what He says, because it shows that we truly do understand who He is. There's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah that many of us hold on to when things are kind of going around crazy. And it speaks again to knowing that Jesus is in the boat with us. He's always with us. Isaiah 26:3 says, You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Scripture doesn't say God makes the storm go away always, but it does say that when you trust in him, you can have perfect peace. We also know that Jesus in the scriptures, and then Paul and the other writers of the New Testament reminded us that Jesus is always with us. And probably that's the take-home lesson of this passage. If we are in Christ, if we've been born again, if we're his followers, we are never alone. He's always with us. He is God. And so there's nothing that this can happen in this world that will separate us from him. And we can rest in confidence. If we fear God, we don't need to fear anything else.
A very comforting lesson indeed, Connie. Thank you so much. One that we do need to hold on to. And if you'd like to go deeper, all the notes are in our Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.